syndrome. We all have it. Listen to my radio program, Advice Line, live streaming on FHU.com 10 to midnight Pacific time and on over 100 stations. For my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, call 866-RADIO-ROY. I'm Roy Masters.
Darrow's Bakery in Elk Grove Village has what you need to make your guests for Thanksgiving dinner very thankful. Pumpkin pies, fruit pies, whipped cream pies, and more. Remember what your mother told you about eating your vegetables and drinking your milk? Well, a slice of pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top will make her happy. Darrow's Bakery, located at Higgins and Arlington Heights Road in Elk Grove Village. Phone 847-437-1234. That's 847-437-1234.
Pick up the phone and call Domino's in Streamwood at 630-830-6700. And right now, it's Meet the Manager Special. Listeners have an option to choose a medium or a large pizza with unlimited toppings and a 2-liter bottle of Coke for just $13.99. That's at the Domino's in Streamwood, 686 South Farrington Road. Pick up the phone and give them a call, 630-830-6700. And as always, the freshest and most delicious pizza available. Again, that number is 630-830-6700.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
French food and wines are some of the best in the whole world, and in downtown Crystal Lake is a place to go for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or to pick up a bottle of wine to make your dinner truly special. Le Petit Marché and Don's Bread, located across the street from the Rouse Center, has daily specials and hundreds of bottles of wine to choose from. Not to mention imported and domestic cheeses, homemade treats, fresh baked breads, and more are available 7 days a week at Le Petit Marché. Call 815-477-DAWN or stop in at 19 North Williams in Crystal Lake and save the trip to France by going to Le Petit Marseille.
In the next 59 seconds, our goal is to turn non-environmentalists into environmentalists. To that end, we've gotten a family of beavers and put kazoos in their mouths. After all, what's more motivating than animals that play music? Cue the beavers! Didn't go so well. But if the beavers didn't make you an environmentalist, maybe money will. For instance, by adjusting your thermostat a few degrees, you'll save money on energy costs and also help reduce air pollution. For more ways to get green, go to getgreen.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.
Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Freedom Rings right here on WRMN AM 1410.
Hello, this is Kenneth John calling from the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
North Carolina?
Mike, I'm so tired. Yeah, we're driving for 18 hours.
You sure you're not lost, right?
Not lost, no. No, unfortunately it's raining here, but at any rate, bear with me, folks. This is going to be an interesting show because I've had very little sleep. But we'll try to get through it. We're going to have a guest today. It's going to be the executive director from Normal National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, Alan St. Pierre. He'll be on later. But first, Mike, let's talk about the Bears.
Hey, you're in North Carolina. Are there any disgruntled Panther fans around?
Oh, I haven't had a chance to really talk to them yet, but Mike, I did not think they were going to win.
No one thought they were going to win.
Vasher, is he playing, having an all-pro year or what?
Yeah, that Vasher, he had a great week 2 weeks ago, and then yesterday he had two interceptions in a row right there just to start things off.
So again, the offense didn't score.
No,
basically.
No, it was a 3-3 tie without the defense from the Bears.
There you go.
Yeah, the game would end at 3-3 in a tie. Yeah, it is incredible.
Absolutely incredible. The Bears defense is getting almost as devastating as 85 almost.
Almost. I know they're being compared to it, and I just don't know if they're that great yet.
Oh, they're not there yet.
No.
They're not there yet.
They're looking good, though.
They're looking good.
And you know, Kenneth,
they could go 10-6 easily.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's losing the three out of division games to, I think it's what, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and another good team.
Yeah, I'm not sure who they got there out of the division.
There's three good teams. They're playing outside the division. Then, of course, they play the Packers twice in Minnesota.
Yeah.
We have to assume, but you can't, but they should win those games.
I hope so.
7 in a row. Who would have thought that?
No one would have thought that. And they say defense wins the championships, too. So if that's the case, we might actually make it to the Super Bowl this year.
There you go. Well, well, if we make it, I'm cluing you in. The Colts are going to win it all.
Yeah, well, that's kind of obvious right now.
So
any given Sunday.
Hey, this is it's a great ride at any rate, huh?
Sure.
And the White Sox, who thought the White Sox didn't go all the way?
No one thought that either.
So you never know what's gonna happen.
All
right, let's go on to the stupid regulation of the week and let's see, I got one or two. First of all, that dumb commercial you had right before the show started. let's tackle that one first. It's the Ad Council along with the Environmental Defense Fund or something like that? Or
Ad Council?
Ad Council co-sponsored with a green environmental group. Now, the Ad Council, that's funded by government. So I'm assuming the government is funding these advocacy groups for green socialism, basically. And I don't think that's right. Maybe we just talk about that as a stupid regulation of the week, that Congress should not be funding advocacy groups. I think that's outrageous. And the whole notion that you need to save energy to help the environment, it's absolute nonsense. Back in 1900, the experts were predicting 20 years left of oil to pump out of the ground. And then in 1920, the experts predicted 20 years of oil to pump out. And then 1940, there's going to be 20 more years of oil to pump out. And then every score of years, they predict the same thing. But what they don't understand is that the technology gets better and better, and they're able to dig. They're able to drill for oil, a little deeper or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They have better means of doing it, more efficient means of doing it, and it's still economical.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of natural resources out there, folks. Plenty of natural resources. You don't have to worry about wasting energy. The only thing that should determine that is supply and demand and the price of energy. Now, that could be a reason.
Mm.
It could be a good reason. But this nonsense about saving because it's a finite resource is absolute nonsense. There's plenty of fuel out there for the upcoming future, probably 1,000 years or so. By then, probably the nuclear power thing will be solved. Or who knows, fuel maybe fusion. Who knows? But that's true now. But one other thing I wanted to point out is actually something that will take away what I might consider super regulations. That's the Beat the Bill Act. Being promoted by a libertarian group headed by Harry Brown. I think of the name of it right now. Somebody call and give it. But they're proposing a bill, and they already have a sponsor, I understand, in Congress, that would require that all congressmen, before they can ever vote on a bill, would actually have to read the bill. Now, isn't that a concept,
you're kidding me, right? You're going to make our congressmen read before they actually decide? They might actually have to learn something first?
And as we may recall, the Patriot Act was read by two congressmen. But no, not even the whole thing, just a summary of it. And it was included all these draconian police state measures that they didn't even know they were voting for.
Ouch.
This would require, first of all, of course, if they had to read the whole bill, you think maybe the bills would be a little smaller?
Well, yeah, for starters.
For starters, and a lot more less draconian things they'd put in, and there'd be a lot less incentive to throw in all that extra pork that congressmen throw in for their own district. So there's a lot of good reasons, and I guess the bill would require that congressmen actually sign an affidavit. Would be under penalty of perjury that if they lied about it, that they would have to actually read the bill before it was voted on. I think this is just a great idea. I can't see how anybody wouldn't be in favor of requiring congressmen to actually read on what they're passing on.
I'm surprised it has to come to a bill to present it. I'm really shocked. And I'll tell you, Kenneth, before I started doing your show about 6-7 weeks ago, I was pretty faithful with my government. I was okay with the way things were running. And every week you crush my heart a little bit more and think, is this really my government? I'm not kidding around. This is serious.
I'm sorry for laughing, but I think every producer I've had has pretty much told me the same thing.
Oh, man.
Well, that makes me feel good because I feel like I'm doing something.
It's borderline shocking, though. I mean, really, it is. I mean, these congressmen don't even read what they're passing or denying to go through the Senate. I mean,
it happens all the time. All the time. And all these congressmen do insert their own little pet projects that nobody even knows are in there. It happens all the time. It's outrageous. And the thing is, what's really bad and shocking is that, as you said, you think things are going relatively well. The real shocking thing to me is that the establishment media never addresses these issues.
Mm.
You know?
Right, right.
It's just wave it away just as if it didn't exist. So, anyway, so that's what we're here for, is to educate people a little bit on what really is going on. And not that we hate our country.
Mm-hmm.
Not that libertarians hate or Kenneth John hates. I love our heritage, what this country is supposed to be. I really believe it as a kid. I really believe that this country is built on choice and freedom and free markets and all those good things, you know, liberty. And then you grow up and you find out, you know, you got to ask permission just about everything from government while they take virtually half your wealth in the process. And, no, so when people say, oh, he hates the government, you know, and they have, of course, Wendell thinks I'm committed treason. No, well, the exact opposite is true. A true patriot does not blindly follow his government. A true patriot holds the government up to what are the real true standards of what it should mean to be an American. And, of course, you know, we all know that the United States was founded on some fundamental flaws that, you know, minorities and women didn't have the rights, obviously, slavery and all that, and taking land from the Indians. None of that was any good. So what some of us are suggesting is pretty much basically, at least in principle, what our founding fathers intended, but for everyone this time, not just white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant males. So, at any rate, that's enough rambling on. We are going to have as a guest, Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of NORML, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. We'll see what's happening in that field, and we will be back talking with them after these messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
We're back here at Freedom Rings, AM 1410, WRMN. The number here is 847-931-1410. Kenneth, you there?
I'm still here.
All right, Ken. We got Alan St. Pierre on the line as well.
Wonderful. Alan, welcome to the show.
Good day.
So, let's get right to the meat. What is the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws doing these days to promote a more sensible policy for vis-a-vis this God's wondrous nature drug? This is,
well, certainly we, in our 35th year, which begins this very month, Normal still works at the grassroots level, 140 chapters, 400 lawyers around the country engaged in what's called impact litigation. We lobby at both the state and the federal level, both on sort of the secondary laws that affect marijuana prohibition, things like drug testing, drug driving while under the influence, taking away student loans for possession of marijuana, all these sort of secondary and tertiary things that have grown from the original prohibition are things that we find ourselves constantly dogged by. But at the same time, as we see from public opinion polls, and certainly probably from the best indicator, when people are actually given the ability to go into a voting booth and pull a lever, if you will, push a button, one way or the other, for or against some form of marijuana law reform put before them, whether it was the Denver voters a couple weeks ago or medical marijuana votes out in the West Coast mainly, people almost always, always vote in favor of changing the laws. Where it really breaks down is here in Washington.
Oh, well, yes, we have all those Republicans in Congress that believe in the Tenth Amendment, right?
That yeah, well, you'd think that they would respect it. They certainly claim that they do, but I've always been vexed in the 15 years I've worked at Normal about how there is such a grazing of the libertarianism in that discussion, and yet when the rubber meets the road on it, there's like an Achilles heel when it comes to this logic of, yes, if the states want to be able to break away from the federal government and not take away people's rights, but provide, in the case of medical marijuana, a different choice, well, they should be able to do so under our United States of America republic democracy model we have.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that the Republicans are such hypocrites on this, and it's not only marijuana, it's any personal rights issue, basically. They feel that the federal government should slam down its hard iron fist against any initiatives that have to do with personal rights. I mean, look at Oregon and their right to die.
Yeah, that's another excellent example that, again, sort of derives out of the war on drugs. It is, in fact, the DEA's ability to control the drugs that these doctors in Oregon would inherently have to use. So it all comes down to one of the oldest and probably greatest debates in this country: what is the power of the person in the state, and what is the power of the federal government? And whether we're talking about marijuana or subsidies for sheep wool, in the end, we're getting down to one of the fundamental questions in our democracy.
Bingo. Now, I understand that the only real true libertarian in Congress who runs, you know, is a Republican in name, but is libertarian in actual philosophy, Dr. Ron Paul, is introducing a bill that would, I believe, curb the some of the extreme excesses of the FDA, and at least allow, you know, things, you know, health food stores like to promote vitamins and say what those vitamins do.
Yeah, certainly Ron Paul, a physician himself, is in fact the only genuine libertarian in Congress, and yes, he gets elected as a Republican, but everybody knows that he's basically a libertarian, and he very much not only supports medical access to marijuana, he supports something called the FAR bill, which would allow, it's quite amazing, imagine this, you're in a state where the voters have passed a law saying a physician should be able to make a recommendation for medical marijuana, the person follows their doctor's recommendation, they get medical marijuana, at least under the guise of a state law, whether they grow their own or purchase it, no legal source, but if they once they purchase it, it's their medicine. And if they get arrested by the federal government, they can't even look to the jury and explain to them why they had the marijuana. Now, that is simply too Kafkaesque in modern society.
The whole court system is Kafkaesque, and that's a great example of it. And it's really outrageous, and I think we're going to need just to stand up to government and say, no, you're not going to shut up our free speech, First Amendment rights in court. You know, that's the thing, I believe, Alan, is that we need to, you know, if you don't have free speech rights in court defending yourself, when do you have them? It renders that concept totally meaningless.
Absolutely, that's exactly, and there's so many other ways. Another example I can bring up that just most people would never anticipate, there were 775,000 marijuana arrests last year, one every 40 seconds in the United States. And of those, very few people will ever see a jury of their peers because of the sort of mollifying of the Sixth and Seventh Amendments regarding your right to jury and a lawyer, such that the laws have been changed in such a way that a velvet hammer is held over somebody's head, such that they would almost be foolish to try to go to trial rather than take a plea bargain. That's why 98.5% of all people arrested for marijuana charges take a plea bargain rather than go to trial.
That's the way the system is set up. It's the system that would make the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union, proud, I believe.
Well, I get in a scary and not too hyperbolic way. I appreciate your comment, because what really makes that striking to me is that those that were there in the Soviet Union during that time really knew it was a farce at the core, whereas in here, quite oddly and strangely, and mainly through a sort of lapdog media, we actually believe, we are under the delusion that we really do have access and freedom to the courts and freedom
of thought. That's the thing. Exactly right. We live in this 1984, a system where people convince themselves, and the media convinces them, that we really have these rights that are supposedly guaranteed through the Bill of Rights. And in effect, as you say, it's not until one gets involved in it personally, for the most part, that they understand how the cards are, the whole deck is stacked against you.
Yeah, that's the part, is that we're so complacent and we hand over these freedoms.
Let's talk about some successes. Now, you mentioned the Colorado bill that passed. Now, what has that done?
Sure. At the base level, it might actually not do too much. A little confusing here, but Colorado is one of 12 states that have already decriminalized the possession of marijuana. So some activists in Denver said, well, how can we go further without running afoul of federal law here? And in Alaska, for the last 25 years, you can possess up to 4 ounces of marijuana and have zero fine. Not a $100 fine, not $200 fine, such as in New York or Ohio or California or Oregon, where marijuana has been decriminalized for decades, but zero fine.
I didn't know that, but that's very interesting about Alaska, because You see, every election you see that, I think, believe true legalization of marijuana is presented to the voters, and they already vote that down. Is it because it doesn't matter?
Well, in some ways it doesn't. People have been so placated in a sort of bittersweet way because they have no real legal impetus. If you can grow your own, and that's virtually what happens in a place like Alaska, frankly, there's not a lot of transportation or commerce in the same way that one finds in the States. That's one aspect. And two is, well, the per capita police to citizens up there is so low, the chance of interfacing with police is extraordinarily low. So there just isn't that same impetus. And you're right, it is rather odd that when given the choice, often voters in Alaska have chosen to vote it down, but they have an excellent state Supreme Court decision that allows for up to 4 ounces of marijuana with no penalty. So the folks in Denver thought, all right, the federal government has never, and it thankfully, factually, would not prevail if it challenged Alaska and made them actually punish people for marijuana up to 4 ounces. So they decided to ask the city of Denver's voters, would they like the same laws? And they did so with the narrative that, hey, in America, alcohol is legal, and arguably marijuana is safer. And so the name of the campaign there is Safer. And they prevailed. I think they got 54% of the vote.
Well, that's terrific. And, I mean, is there, you say, ostensibly, is there any comparison between what alcohol does to people and marijuana? My understanding is no person has ever died from an overdose of marijuana.
Well, true in that sense that certainly you cannot consume enough cannabis to kill yourself. It's called an LD lethal dose rating. It's an LD 50. It's much, much lower than things like aspirin, certainly like alcohol, morphine, mepadrine, all these drugs that are legally prescribed today. Generally speaking, using very round numbers, in the United States, about 80,000 people die because of alcohol. And while there is no overdose of marijuana in the United States, of the 400,000 people who die because of smoking-related diseases, one could argue, one could extrapolate that a percentage of those folks might be lifelong marijuana smokers. But you know, there's been a lot of research, including something that just came out a few weeks ago that was published widely by a researcher named Malamede, that compares marijuana and tobacco smoke, a head-to-head comparison. And yes, smoking might not be a wise decision, but the question is, one, does it cause cancer and harm the same way that tobacco does? And that clearly does not appear to be the case according to the science. But two, in our country, and this is sort of the more important question to our discussion today, should that be an illegal decision? Does that in some way demonstrate moral turpitude? And, well, I would certainly argue that if you choose to smoke anything, marijuana or tobacco, that might not be wise, but it should not be an illegal decision.
Well, absolutely. Just as if you don't want to wear a seatbelt, it should be your decision.
I concur that.
It doesn't affect another adult person.
And if the free market demands of those individuals who take greater risk and gives them a pro rata, if you will, regarding the expenses. I mean, if you smoke tobacco and marijuana, should you pay a small percentage higher on your health insurance? Maybe so. If the actuarials, and that is, talk about good science in terms of looking at what kills people, what are the rates of people's lives and deaths, the very science, if you will, social science and math use to determine your insurance rate and my insurance rate. So the free market can, in many cases, deliver us a fairly sensible solution here.
That's a great point, Alan. Let the market decide. Exactly. And if it's going to cost more if you smoke tobacco or drink alcohol or
don't wear the safety belt,
they're not fine.
Yeah.
Or maybe actually the actuarials will find it that this is an opposite correlation. Who knows?
Yeah, and
let the market decide, not some regulator in Washington.
Indeed. And we're seeing this in the form of, say, for example, insurance companies that for those that want to get your car completely rigged up with GPS, and it can determine how fast you're going, whether you're wearing that seatbelt or not. It doesn't take away your insurance. It simply makes you pay a higher rate. And that, in my mind, is a free market solution that will probably work.
Excellent. We're talking with Alan St. Pierre. He's the executive director for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any comments, questions, observations, analyses, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Welcome back, everybody, to Freedom Rings. 847-931-1410 is the number. We've got Kenneth John also on the phone, and Alan St. Pierre. You guys still there?
Yep, sir.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
All right. Do we have any callers?
We have one on the phone right now. I haven't even answered the phone yet. You want to go straight to him?
Oh, well, no. Why don't you answer? I will. Alan, if people want to find out more about your group and what it does and how they can support, so how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. It's really quite easy. Normal has up on its webpage all of the state laws that has all of the arrests in the United States broken down to the county level over a 10-year period, so it's the most comprehensive information on the web about marijuana, marijuana laws, arrests, etc. at www.norml.org, or certainly you can call us toll-free in Washington, D.C. at 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L.
Okay, terrific. All right, Mike, who do we have on the line?
We got Joyce on the line.
All right, Joyce, you're on the air.
Oh, good. You know, you mentioned marijuana not being against the law, and you mentioned seatbelts not being against the law if a person was not restrained. Marijuana, you mean to say that if a person is driving down the road and he's smoking the funny stuff, that it doesn't, you know, impair his judgment and cause accidents and maybe take somebody else's life. And the same with, you know, seat belts. I mean, you have to restrain a child. That is the law. And
we're
if
not
you
talking
don't,
about children right now.
Pardon?
I'm talking about children.
Pardon?
I'm talking about children.
You're not?
Nope.
Oh, okay, but I'm
talking
saying,
about adults first, but let Mike, unless, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just want to make that clear. If
okay.
you're not done, go ahead. Otherwise, we'll have Alan respond to your point.
Oh, no, your point very well taken. I appreciate it, Joyce, but that normal has always, and it's right in our principles of responsible cannabis use, sort of a little doctrine that normal put out years ago. The second one, which the first one is no marijuana for children, the very second one is no marijuana and driving. The same mores and values that we have for alcohol clearly are the same ones we have for marijuana consumption, and technology, our bittersweet friend, I'm sure is going to make sure that in time, people will be driving less impaired because of the use of cannabis, because of technology being able to measure people's impairment.
Yeah, that's true. That's a point that I wanted to make, because there's enough goofball drivers out there anyway.
Sure. Right. We agree with you, Joyce.
Okay, and the other thing you mentioned something about, it kind of would apply the same thing as like using seatbelts. You do agree, though, that a child should be restrained.
Absolutely. When it's not at the adult's life, and certainly when it comes to the scientific evidence, it seems pretty clear to me that that a person wearing a seatbelt has a better chance of surviving the wreck. However, the question is, should they be compelled legally by the government to do so? When it comes to children, I think that absolutely a child should be inside of a restrained seat.
Okay, now one more question. I'll let somebody else give it, get their 2 cents in. The marijuana thing, shouldn't that be against the law to be smoking it while you're driving?
Yes, I don't think there's any doubt that just like alcohol,
okay.
a person should not drive while impaired. And that also goes with 400,000 pharmaceutical drugs. And again, technology, our bittersweet friend, I think is going to make it in about 10, maybe 20 years, that if you are sufficiently tired, your car is not going to be go from point A to point B. You've got to be able to prove to the computer that's operating the car that you are, in fact, not impaired, regardless of the source of impairment.
Okay, so if a person is pulled over for erratic driving and the officer detects that mm-hmm. the person has been smoking marijuana, shouldn't he get a ticket
sure.
or get his driver's license suspended
yeah,
for that?
Whatever reasoned penalties the state legislature puts forward, that sounds completely reasonable to me, and I don't think there's any responsible marijuana law reform advocate that would argue otherwise, except for maybe the degrees of impairment, but that is so deep into the pharmacology and forensics, too deep to get into here, but your general premise is one that Normal very much agrees with.
Okay,
and
I just
Joyce,
want...
Joyce, hello? Go ahead.
No, I just wanted, to get my 2 cents in on that because, it's just working for a mental institution for 38 years and drugs and marijuana thing has been, doesn't help people who already are mentally impaired. And just banning it in the first place.
Would you agree, Joyce, that anything that impairs your ability to operate a vehicle or machinery, for that example, one shouldn't be doing that and there should be consequences for that behavior?
Yeah, well, yeah, it should be, but you've got people out there that don't pay attention to the law. They endanger other people's lives, so I think if they do get pulled over,
sure.
So like I mentioned before, erratic driving, I mean, slap that guy a ticket.
Sure.
Take his license. He shouldn't be on the road.
We agree with you.
Okay, thanks for letting me put my 2 cents in. I appreciate it.
Hey, Joyce, thanks for calling. I appreciate
Alrighty.
It.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
All right. We're talking with Al St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any calls, questions, comments. Mike, how are we doing?
We're doing okay. No one on the phone right now, but I do have a question.
Sure.
I know the group Normal has been around for quite a few years now. What has changed with Normal in the last 5 or 10 years, and what sort of advances have been made to legalize marijuana?
Sure, good question. I've been here long enough to 15 years now, and Normal's been around 35 years, that I really look at Normal in a pre- and post-internet period. Pre-internet, we would get a few hundred phone calls a day. We'd generate 200 to 400 pieces of mail per day, and research was fairly laborious. In today's world, well, again, our bittersweet friend technology has made it to the point now where Normal has 35,000 to 40,000 unique visitors on its web page every night. We serve 1 to 1.5 million web pages a night people download. We could never have mailed that much information to people or gotten them that kind of specific research with a 10-person staff in Washington, D.C. So the Internet and our Internet page is really the interface between us and the consuming society and those who want to know virtually anything about marijuana, its health effects, the consequences of the law, medical marijuana, and you know, I'd throw out a second paradigm shift, and that is medical marijuana. From 1996 to 2000, one-fifth of the U.S. population had a chance to go into the voting booth, and despite lots of government opposition to changing the law, some of it scurrilous in its opposition, in every circumstance where voters have had a chance to vote for medical marijuana, they've done so. And that has really changed the situation such that in California right now, and as of Friday last week in San Francisco, the City Board of Supervisors have now voted and codified marijuana distribution laws such that you can now walk up into a retail environment with your doctor's recommendation, procure a small amount of marijuana, use it on site, or bring it home. And that is a huge shift in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're making some great stuff. And I just wanted to ask if you're still so right that technology is a double-edged sword.
Bitter sweet bread.
Yeah, but I think maybe enough is going to help us in the long run.
Oh, my entrepreneurial sort of libertarian leanings absolutely lead me to believe this. Again, it's going to be bittersweet. One can envision, for example, 20 years from now, sure, marijuana might be legal. We might be able to walk up and buy it and use it in a way that most of us who are over 21 years old have experienced with alcohol. However, when you get in the car, after the concert or whatnot, you might have to look into a device and it's going to look into your eye. You might have to essentially blow or spit into a device, and your car is not going to turn on until you can prove to the car's computer or maybe even the satellite that's controlling the GPS unit in your car that you're not impaired. So yes, we might well get what we want in this world, but it's going to change the dynamics a lot.
I think I'm going to keep my grandfather's 73 MGB in operating order. We're talking with Alan St. Pierre, executive director, I should say, of Normal. The phone number here is 847-931-4210. Have any questions, comments, give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Welcome back, everybody, to Freedom Rings, 847-931-1410.
And welcome back. Okay, let's go right back to the phones. We, believe, have John on the line.
Yep. John, you're up.
Hi. Alan, you said there was 775,000 arrests for marijuana. What year was that for?
That was for the year 2004.
Pardon me?
For the year 2004, the last year of statistical...
2004. Was the... do you know the outcomes of those?
Sure. 88% of those... Well, on the front side of them, 88% of those arrested are for possession only. So only 12% of arrests are for dealing, selling, cultivation, conspiracy therein. Of those... 775,000 individuals arrested, approximately 5 to 7% of them go to prison or jail at some point during the course of their involvement with the criminal justice system. In the 2.2 million person population in the United States that's in prison, approximately 60 to 70,000 are there for marijuana-only related crimes.
Do you have, like, an average sentence or anything, you know?
No, in fact, that's one of the things I would encourage people to go to Normal's webpage and look at, because what's so amazing is you can get, for example, in a car in Portland, Maine with an ounce of marijuana, and you can drive to Portland, Oregon. Well, and as it turns out, both Portland, Oregon and Portland, Maine have decriminalized marijuana, but the hundreds and hundreds of different penalties that ounce of marijuana will fetch as you drive across country is, in my mind, one of the things that makes the marijuana laws so ripe for reform in this country is the lack of predictability for the consumer. Most people have no idea that the ounce of marijuana in New York State that they possess, which is basically a $200 left-handed tax that the government takes from you and takes the marijuana, you cross over into Bergen County, New Jersey, that ounce of marijuana becomes very expensive to not only the person holding the marijuana, but to the state. The state will end up spending $10,000-$15,000 bringing that person into the system, potentially incarcerating them at the end of the process at $30,000 per year. So while decriminalization is sort of a half-baked loaf, from an individual's point of view, given a Hobbes choice between paying a fine and going your own way or getting drawn into the criminal justice system, I think most of us in a second would take decrim, but in the end, it doesn't really solve the major the problems associated with prohibition, and it unfortunately doesn't take apart the criminal justice expenses and the structure that is so civil liberty sucking in the process.
Thanks for your call, John. I appreciate it. Well, I'll tell you, Alan, what an efficient use of the policeman's time and the court system's time to go after marijuana growers and users versus the rapists, murderers, and thieves in this society.
Now, there's no focus or poll group or no result at anywhere in the United States that shows that even a subpopulation of the United States agrees that this is a good use. 89% of the American public thinks this thing called the war on drugs is a failure. 89% doesn't agree with legalization. Factually speaking, 36% of Americans think that marijuana ought to be treated just like alcohol and tobacco.
Well, maybe some congressmen should gather up some so-called courage just by watching how Dr. Ron Paul keeps on getting reelected when he advocates all these reforms.
Oh, absolutely, and there's no doubt that because of the generational changes we're living through now with the baby boomers, this is going to be ripe for discussion for years to come because, my family would be a great example. My grandmother's 83, and she certainly doesn't entertain the idea of marijuana legalization in the slightest. My mother is 62 years old, and she's all for decrim, certainly has no problem with medicalized marijuana. And I'm 40 years old, and I think it should be legal, taxed, and controlled.
Here you go. Mike, am I hearing music in the background?
No, you got 3.5 minutes left. You got
Bob. We got 2 minutes left. All right, let's have Bob. Let's talk to Bob.
All right, you got Bob or Neil South Oki waiting.
Okay.
Here's Bob.
Peter, thanks for being on Ken's show. I think you kind of have to rethink this using marijuana and driving issue. Exactly what is being criminalized? I mean, is it the state of the person's mind? Does this mean that we're going to be subject to drug testing every time we're pulled over for speeding? What if you smoked a joint a week ago? And you
these are excellent questions, and unfortunately, that's exactly what's happening right now. For example, if you were driving down the road and you had white foam around your mouth and you had very red eyes or the police person thought they smelled marijuana, right now, without any forensic test whatsoever that could determine that you are actually impaired, just by giving up a urine sample, a hair follicle, a blood sample, all that will tell somebody scientifically is, as you were alluding to, that you have used marijuana in the past, 10 days, 20 days, 50 days ago, and there's no measure of impairment, like the same way that we have and have at least arrived at with blood alcohol content. So there's no doubt that this is a concern, and Normal is not going to be signing off on any legislation, and we'll be opposing it both in court and in the Congress if laws are passed that make it that do not test the actual impairment of the driver at the time they have dominion and control over the car.
Yeah, but you are still criminalizing a person's state of mind. What about a woman who has PMS and she goes out and speeds? You know, should she be given more of a penalty because she is, you know, under this tent situation? Or what if you just had an argument with your wife?
Those are excellent. I mean, they're certainly, to me, more than esoteric discussion points because, yes, a woman might have a number of chemicals rushing through her body at that particular point in time that she wouldn't have otherwise, and she might be acting in a way that she shouldn't be criminally liable. I definitely appreciate the expanse of your thinking. However, just to kind of root us back, I mean, I'm a block from the White House, so I can't get that esoteric. I wish I could. I do understand what you're saying, but when we're talking about something as practical as, say, comparing something like marijuana to alcohol, which is pretty much the closest real-life experience we're going to have here about people driving impaired.
Go to lewrockwell.com and read one of his most recent columns called Legalized Drunk Driving, and you'll get the idea that driving under the influence is not a crime in the traditional sense. It is the harm that you inflict upon another person that is a crime. It is not the fact that you are in a certain state of mind that it should be the crime. That's where the laws have.
Bob, I think a libertarian could argue that if someone is weaving dangerously down the street, that might be assault. That's a threat, in my opinion. That might be a threat, and I think that might be probable cause for pulling somebody over. So I don't think you don't have to hit somebody with a car, I think, in order to violate what I would call a common law crime of the threat, an assault.
Okay,
another possible libertarian way of looking at it.
Sure. Okay, you got a great show, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Okay, I sure appreciate it. We have time for Okie, Mike?
No, we have about 35 seconds.
35, okay. Alan, one more time, the website.
Sure, people can reach Normal by the web at www.normalnorml.org or call us toll-free in D.C. at 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L. And I'd certainly just like to compliment the show's production, mainly on the advertising of FIJA, Freedom, Fully Informed Jury Amendment. I can hardly tell you what a different country we would have for those people who do sit on a jury and have a marijuana case, particularly a possession case or a medical marijuana case before them, and the idea that they absolutely have the right under our Constitution to nullify the law if they think that the person should not have even been brought into the criminal justice system to begin with.
Thank you very much for being on the show, Alan.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Take care, everybody.
All right.
This is your news and information station, AM 14.